James chapter number 3. It's going to be our third lesson on the book of James. We're only going to do about half of chapter number 3. We're going to get into the tongue tonight. James chapter number 3. Yes. I got a lot of verses I want to show you. We'll flip back and forth between James and Proverbs. The Bible's got a lot to say about this little member we call the tongue. Amen. Our tongue gets us in a lot of trouble. Well, I'm not going to take a raise of hands right now, but I can almost guarantee you if you're married, your mouth and your tongue may have gotten you in trouble this week by itself. Amen. And But the tongue does get us in trouble oftentimes. We're going to talk about that here. Look at James chapter 3. We're going to read a couple verses and then we'll pray. Verse number 1, my brethren, be not many masters, knowing that we shall receive the greater condemnation. For in many things we offend all. Especially in today's society, everybody's offended. If any man offend not in word, the same is a perfect man, and able also to bridle the whole body. Behold, we put bits in the horses' mouths, that they may obey us, and we turn about their whole body. Behold, also the ships, which though they be so great, and are driven of fierce winds, yet are they turned about with a very small helm, that little rudder, whithersoever the governor listeth. Even so the tongue is a little member, and boasteth great things. Behold, how great a matter a little fire kindleth. Look at verse 6. And the tongue is a fire, a world of iniquity. So is the tongue among our members, that it defileth the whole body, and setteth on fire the course of nature. Now notice this last phrase. And it is set on fire of hell. Let's pray. Father, we love you. We thank you for the truths of the Word of God. Help us, Lord, as we begin to break down the truths about the tongue and trying to control its behavior. Lord, help us to look in your Word. There's much wisdom that's found in us being able to control our speech and control the things that we say and even how we say certain things. And God, I pray that you teach us something from your Word tonight. May we be better Christians because of it, better servants of you. Lord, we don't believe in just separating from the good and the bad, but Lord, we also ought to separate from the better and the best. And sometimes there's just a better way to say things. And Lord, I pray that you help us to take heed to the truths as we understand the scriptures tonight. We ask these things in your name we pray. Amen. Now, notice here, we're going to just jump right into this. Notice you'll here in verses 1 through 5, we see the influence of the tongue. The first verse tells us, well, we see the fact that the tongue has a power to direct. The tongue has a power to direct, first and foremost. You'll notice the Bible tells us, look at verse number 1, my brethren, be not many masters, knowing that we shall receive the greater condemnation. Here we see a desire to teach. You say, how do you see that here? Notice we're told not to have many masters, and not to be many masters or many teachers. Understand, we're going to be judged. So we need to teach our tongue how to talk, so that we're going to be judged according to the proper things. Now notice the Bible says in verse number 2, for this is why we need to be not many masters. This is why we need to make sure that we teach and gather in the things that we're going to say. Now verse number 2, for in many things we offend all. Here we see the desire to teach, but then we see in verses 2 through 4, we see the disciplined tongue. Notice the Bible's going to tell us exactly how to discipline our tongue. In many things we offend all. If any man offend not in word, the same is a perfect man. You have offended somebody at some point with what you've said in your lifetime. You may have offended somebody this week. You may have offended somebody today. You may have offended somebody after you came to church tonight. I have no idea. There's no guarantee. We can neither confirm nor deny, right? There's an opportunity. If somebody is opening their mouth, there is a surefire opportunity. You're probably going to offend somebody by something that you say or by how you say it. I am reminded often that it's not always what I say, but it's how I say it. And all the women said amen. Sometimes, guys, we hear this. I don't know if you hear it. I know I hear it. Sometimes it's not what you say, but it's the tone with which you've said it. I'm learning these things. we offend. And if you don't offend somebody, you don't, and you know how to control that tongue of yours, the Bible says you are a perfect man. And if you can control your tongue, you can also control the whole body. Now, we're going to get to all that here in just a moment. But notice we see in verse 2, our lack of discipline is offensive because of our speech. Notice, in many things we offend often. A man offend not in word, the same as a perfect man, and he's able to bridle the whole body. So when we are offensive, it's because we are not disciplined. And so if we are not disciplined, we are going to offend somebody with how we talk. And sometimes it's going to be somebody that we care for deeply and closely because we're not disciplined. Let me just go ahead and give you a piece of advice right here. This one's free, all right? You don't have to say everything that comes to your mind. Amen. We often call that word vomit. Sometimes some people call it diarrhea of the mouth. All right. You don't have to say everything that comes to your mind. Why? Because most of it, well, isn't worth saying. Most of it's not worth saying. But we have the imperative of discipline. If we are not disciplined, we will offend someone. And usually it's going to be someone who's very close to us. Then notice the illustration that we see of discipline in verse 3 and 4. He says, "Behold, we put bits in the horse's mouth." Why? That they may obey us. Do you know that sometimes when something is in your mouth, you tend not to talk? Amen. Here, horses, we know the horses don't talk anyway, unless you're Mr. Ed. But here, horses, they have bits put in their mouth. Why? So that we can teach them what to do and where to go. We turn them around. Anybody ever ridden a horse in here? So, has anyone ever had to go through the process of bridling the horse? Yes. And saddling the horse and getting them cinched up and tightened down and everything. We had the church that we grew up in down in Arkansas, Bible Baptist Church in Jacksonville. Our pastor at the time, Brother Files, he had some horses. And they stayed out at the church camp. And so during the summer, different church families would help out with the boarding of those horses and the carrying of the horses. And because the teen boys most of the time worked as camp staff and different kind of summer staff to be able to take care of the grounds and different things, oftentimes we were taking care of the horses. You remember those times? Oftentimes brushing the horses, feeding the horses, caring for the horses, trying to catch the horses when they wouldn't listen, and all kinds of different things. And some of these horses just plain out would not listen. There was one of them, she was a pregnant horse, and she was stubborn. I don't know, maybe it's because she was a woman. I don't know, but she was stubborn. And she was the one that we would take for rides on different times. And there was one time she just would not listen to me as I'm guiding and I'm riding her on the horse trail and we're going through different things. And she starts running into the tree and smashing my leg right into the side of the tree. She just did not want to listen. And so, you know, you just pull on the horse and you begin to kind of break them of some different things. But we put bits in the horse's mouth. Why? So that they would obey. And notice the Bible says that the ships are great and they're driven about of fierce winds, but they're directed by a small little rudder in the back. It tells it exactly where to go and exactly what to do. I know some of you are thinking, yeah, my tongue tells people exactly where to go and exactly what to do too. I wasn't going to say that, but you brought it up. But here, we see a bit, and we see a rudder. They both control the being, the horse, the ship, just like the tongue controls our body. Now, let's look at some verses about the tongue. Hold your place here. We're going to come back to James. Don't worry. Go to Proverbs with me, if you would. We're going to go to Proverbs chapter 6. We're going to probably look about 20-something verses in Proverbs. I told you that James is the New Testament version of Proverbs with the truths that we see and find. But let me show you some truths in reference to our tongue. Some of you may have heard of the great philosopher Socrates. He was an ancient Greek philosopher. Well, Socrates was a blind man. And one of the statements that he made, and I've got it written down in my Bible, was he said, "Speak, friend, that I may see you." Now think about that. This is a blind man. He said, "Speak, friend, that I may see you." People can see a lot about who we are by what we say. There's a lot of truth in that. Now, as we go through the book of Proverbs, let's look at what the Bible says about our speech. Proverbs chapter 6, verse number 12. It says, a naughty person. Now, the word naughty literally means worthless. Look it up in your Strong's Concordance. It means worthless. A worthless person, a naughty person, a wicked man walketh with a froward mouth. The word froward means perverse. The word perverse literally means crooked or slanted. That means everything that they hear, they can't always take at face value. They got to put some kind of wicked slant on it. You know anybody like that? You may have some coworkers like that. The Bible says a naughty person, a wicked man, walketh with a froward mouth. Everything they say is going to be contrary. It's going to have a wicked slant on it. Notice down in verse number 16. It says, these six things that the Lord hate, yea, seven are an abomination unto Him. A proud look, a lying tongue, and hands that shed innocent blood, and heart that deviseth wicked imaginations, feet that be swift in running to mischief, a false witness that speaketh lies, and he that soweth discord among the brethren. Three of the seven things that are listed as things that God hates are references of the tongue. God has a lot to say about our tongue. Go to chapter 7. Look at verse number 11. Chapter 7. Verse number 11. Here, Solomon has given his son some truths about a wicked woman. He talks about a woman that he saw out of his encasement, or out of his window. And he saw among the simple ones a youth, a young man that was void of understanding. He was walking by a harlot's corner. The Bible says in verse number 8. But verse 11, here it starts describing the woman. She is loud. I mean, she has to be heard. And stubborn. Her feet abide not in her house. We're not going to read all the verses, but go down to verse number 21. All the way from verse 13 to verse number 9, no, verse 20. She is coaxing this young man with her speech. Notice what the Bible says in verse 21. With her much fair speech, she caused him to yield. With the flattering of her lips, she forced him. Here, she talked somebody into sinning because of the things she had to say. You know, there are people out there that are dead set and hell-bent on getting you to sin against God and trying to convince you and coerce you simply by the things that they say. They're going to do everything they can to try to get you to go against what you believe. You may have even seen it on the workforce, where somebody's going to constantly come up to you, and they've always got a dirty joke to tell. Even though you've told them 100 times, I'm a Christian, I don't talk like that, I don't want you to come and tell me those things. They're going to constantly come by and try to fill your mind with that. Just like here, we see a wicked woman. How did she wear down this man? With her much fair speech. The tongue can be used for good, the tongue can be used for evil. Listening to the wrong speech oftentimes leads us to the wrong decisions in life. Notice Proverbs chapter number 8. Look at verse number 6. Proverbs 8, verse number 6. Hear, for I will speak of excellent things, and the opening of my lips shall be right things. Here Solomon's talking again, and he says, I'm going to talk about the right kind of stuff. Now he's referring to wisdom in this chapter. Look at verse number 7. For my mouth shall speak truth. Man, would to God we had more people like that. It is an election year. Anybody that's talking on television right now is not speaking the truth. You know that. I know that. We all know that. But would to God we had some people that were. For my mouth shall speak truth, and wickedness is an abomination to my lips. If you turn on the news at any given time, or you turn on even your social media, and you go look at whatever it is that you go to on social media, you will find many a times there's all kinds of just filth. Why? The Bible says wickedness here is an abomination to my lips. You know that wickedness sells? People want to hear about it. The worse that it is, the more people want to hear about it. They want to hear about all the filth. Did you hear so-and-so? Oh, no, I didn't. And they're excited about it. They want to know. That's the flesh. But we've got to make sure that we train ourselves in another way. Verse 8, all the words of my mouth are in righteousness. That's how a child of God ought to speak.
there is nothing froward or perverse in them. That means you're not going to put a wicked slant on it. That means Christians ain't got no business telling dirty jokes. This is your we're reading the Bible together, okay? This is in Proverbs 8. Skip over now to Proverbs chapter number 10. Again, we're going to look at several verses in the book of Proverbs. Look at verse 18. Proverbs 10, 18. He that hideth hatred with lying lips, and he that uttereth a slander is a fool. So, what that means, and it's very self-explanatory, if you have aught against somebody, and you just simply put a smile on your face and grin through it, he that hideth hatred with lying lips, and then he that uttereth a slander, you're speaking ill about someone's name when you don't know the whole story, that's slander. You look it up, slander is a legal term, and that can get you put in jail. He that uttereth a slander, notice the Bible says, is a fool. That means that's somebody who jumps to conclusions without having all the facts. A fool. Notice verse 19. In the multitude of words, there wanteth not sin, but he that refraineth his lips is wise. The Bible says, I've got that highlighted, the last part of that verse. He that refraineth his lips is wise. And we're going to get to it here in just a minute. But the Bible even tells us in another passage, and you'll see it here in just a few minutes, that even when a fool chooses to shut his mouth and refraineth from talking, he's counted wise. So sometimes there's wisdom in just keeping your mouth shut. Did you know that we could save ourselves a lot of arguments and a lot of battles if we just learn when to shut our mouths? Now, we're all guilty. We're going to get to the bare bones of all this. We are all guilty of our tongue causing problems. Every one of us. No one is above it. I am guilty. You are guilty. We are all guilty. Look at verse number 20. The tongue of the just is as choice silver. The heart of the wicked, though, is little worth. Skip down to verse number 32. Same chapter. The lips of the righteous know what is acceptable. That means we know whether or not our speech is acceptable. But what does the mouth of the wicked do? It speaketh frowardness or wickedness, perverseness. Go to chapter 11, verse number 9. An hypocrite with his mouth destroyeth his neighbor. A hypocrite with his mouth destroyeth his neighbor. Now, how can we be a hypocrite with our mouth? By saying we believe one thing and doing another. That's how we're a hypocrite, with our mouth. Hypocrisy in our lives. When our life does not match our words. I've got written down here, talk's cheap, it takes money to ride the train. Talk's cheap, it takes money to ride the train. Proverbs 11, look at down at verse number 12. He that is void of wisdom despiseth his neighbor, but a man of understanding holdeth his peace. Wisdom knows when to speak. Notice verse 13. A talebearer revealeth secrets. You know, if all you do is tell people secrets, they're not going to tell you secrets. It's funny how that works. Because they can't trust you. But he that is of a faithful spirit does what? Concealeth the matter. There are some people who are tactful, and they know when to conceal certain things. Then there's others, they can't keep a secret if their life depended on it. And we all know somebody like that. Now, wisdom knows when to speak and when to refrain from speaking. Proverbs chapter 12, look at verse number 14. Notice, the Bible says, a man shall be satisfied with good. How? By the fruit of his mouth. Our mouth and our words and the things we say can bring satisfaction in life. And the recompense of a man's hand shall be rendered unto him. Satisfaction and a clear conscience in our life come from having the proper speech. I wonder if we have a clear conscience. Look down at verse number 17, same chapter. He that speaketh truth showeth forth righteousness. But a false witness, deceit. Look at verse 18. There is that speaketh like the piercings of a sword, But the tongue of the wise is health. Your words, my words, our words have the power to hurt or the power to heal. They have the power to hurt or they have the power to heal. But we are responsible for training this little member we call a tongue. We are responsible for what we say, when we say it, and how we say it. We're responsible. I remember when I was a kid, I was in, fourth grade, fifth grade, public school at the time. We lived in Little Rock. Some different things were going on at school. And there was a little fight that had broken out. And I had said some things that shouldn't have been said. And I got a detention for all these different things. Ended up getting suspended. But, moving on. When I got home, my excuse to my parents was, I had a friend named Jesse. I said, Jesse made me do it. My dad looks at me and said, seriously? He made those words come out of your mouth. He made you do those things. Yeah. Of course. No personal responsibility. That didn't fly well. I forgot what happened after that. You know, some things in your history, in your life, you tend to block out the little black spots of your life. Yeah. I don't know if you're that way. I'm that way. I black some things out. Praise the Lord, it's under the blood. Oh, what verse are we on? Verse 18. There is that speaketh like the piercings of a sword. Your words have the power to cut. Your words have the power to cut. We've all heard the phrase growing up, sticks and stones may break my bones, but words will never hurt me. You know, that's the biggest lie that we were all ever fed. Okay? Sticks and stones, yeah, they'll break your bones, but words, they'll break your heart. They go a little bit deeper. They cut some wounds that last a little bit longer. You know, breaks heal. But what so-and-so said to you, you may remember that for the next 30 years. And that could be a root of bitterness in your life. It's amazing how we can say someone's name or we can say some instance and immediately something pops up in your head and it's usually not good. That's a sign there's some bitterness. There's some undealt with hurt in our lives. Look at verse 25, Proverbs 12, 25. Heaviness in the heart of man maketh it stoop, but a good word maketh it glad. Again, your words have power to heal. Your words can make someone's day better or worse. Somebody's going through a rough time and you come to them and you ask them, are you feeling all right? Because you don't look like you feel too good. That's probably not the wisest words to say. Because they're already down. And telling them they look exactly how they probably feel, that's not encouraging. But being there, let them know that you're praying for them, that you care about them. That can lift their spirits up a little bit. We have power in what we say and how we say it. Proverbs 13 now. Look at verse number 10. Proverbs 13, 10. Only by pride cometh contention, but with a well-advised is wisdom. Only by pride cometh contention. So, you just had to say what you were thinking. I had to get it out. I had to tell them what I was thinking. I had to tell them. They needed to know. Yeah, we've made that excuse. Because of your pride, it led to a fight. That's what contention is. The only reason there's any kind of fight, any arguing, any bickering is because there's pride that's involved. And usually it's the pride of, well, I got to let them know. If they don't know, then you know it's gonna be bad. I got to let them know. So-and-so's talking about them. Well, really, is that the best thing to tell them? You just had to say it. I just got to give them a piece of my mind. Really? Is that what you want to give them? A piece of your mind? I mean, do you have enough to give out? Oh, I don't know. My tongue's getting me in trouble. Sorry. Oh, Lord, help me. Proverbs 14. Look at verse number 9. Fools make a mock at sin, but among the righteous there is favor. Someone's a fool if all they're doing is poking fun at sin and mocking sin. To jest and to laugh and to make fun of wicked things. Usually that happens in a crowd. Look at verse number 23 of chapter 14. In all labor there is profit. That's a good verse right there. All labor there is profit.
Why are we doing this?
Because I told you to. Now do it. Clean your room. Bless God. In all labor there is profit, but the talk of the lips tendeth only to penury. I have written down in my Bible, quit talking and start doing. There are a lot of people that talk a big game. They don't do anything though. The talk of the lips tendeth only to penury. Penury means to want. When someone's constantly talking about doing this and doing that, but they never go through with anything, it just leaves people with a wanting for that to actually be done. And then it'll get to the point that you just know they're just blowing off steam and they're not going to really do anything at all, so you just stop listening to them altogether. And that doesn't make any matters any better. Look at Proverbs chapter 15. Look at verse number 1. A soft answer turneth away wrath, but grievous words stir up anger. But you don't know what they said to me. Yeah, the Bible still says a soft answer turneth away wrath. Which means the way that you respond could determine whether or not that situation gets escalated. And I'm not talking about the car. The way you respond can determine whether or not that situation goes from bad to worse or from bad to better. But grievous words stir up anger. Look at verse 2. The tongue of the wise useth knowledge aright. If we are using wisdom, by the way, most of the time when we're responding to somebody in anger or when our feelings are hurt, we're usually not using wisdom. We're responding in the flesh. I'm guilty too. I understand. But the Bible says the mouth of fools poureth out foolishness. If somebody just keeps talking and talking and talking and running their mouths, they're pouring out foolishness. Our speech can fix problems or they can make matters worse. Again, don't want anybody to raise hands, but I wonder how many in a conversation have gone back and forth with somebody and then the statement gets made, you keep bringing that up. Yeah. Continual talking. The mouth of fools pouring out foolishness. Notice verse 14. The heart of him that hath understanding seeketh knowledge, but the mouth of fools does what? Feedeth on foolishness. If we are wise in heart and we're going to tame this tongue, we're going to search out knowledge and wisdom that's found in the Word of God. We're going to search out the truth instead of just taking everything that we hear and running with it. No, we got to hear both sides of the matter to be able to come to the proper conclusion, research things ourselves. But what does the fool do? He just feeds on foolishness. He takes it all in. He wants to be somebody that everybody comes to. Look at verse 23. A man hath joy, notice, by the answer of his mouth. How you answer people can bring joy in your life, or it can bring heartache and pain and regret. You know, the one thing that I've learned in life, I've learned a lot, but one of the things that really sticks with me is the fact that as soon as words come out of your mouth, there is no retract button. There's no reverse. There's no way to take any of it back. Okay? There are certain things that you can try to fix and try to patch up this and that, but as soon as those words come out, they're gone. You can't take it back. It's been said. And then the response usually comes, well, I didn't mean that. The question, why'd you say it? Why'd you say it? The Bible says, out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaketh. That means when trash comes in, trash comes out. But when good things come in our ears and our eyes, good things will come out. That's why it's so important what we feed ourselves. That was verse number 14. Nope, that was verse 23. Proverbs chapter 16 now. Look at verse number 23. I'm going to read a few verses here. This is where it gets to the good stuff. The heart of the wise teacheth his mouth. If we're going to use some wisdom, in this life, we've got to teach our mouth what to say. Sometimes, we've got to learn how to control this thing. Now again, I'm probably not the best example of that. I get myself in trouble a lot with what I say. But
This is a truth we need to all learn. I'm not teaching it because I'm the best example. I'm teaching it because it's the truth. Amen. The heart of the wise teacheth his mouth and addeth learning to his lips. We teach our mouth what to say. Notice what the Bible says in verse 24. Pleasant words are as a honeycomb, sweet to the soul and health to the bones. There are some people that you can just listen to all day long because they say good things. They talk well. They're easy to listen to. They have pleasant words. Verse number 25. There is a way that seemeth right unto a man, but the end thereof are the ways of death. Go to verse 26 now. He that laboreth for himself, for his mouth craveth it of him. An ungodly man, notice, diggeth up evil, and in his lips there is as a burning fire. What fire was mentioned in the book of James? It's set on fire of hell. We're going to talk about that here in just a minute. But here we're told that an ungodly man's lips has a burning fire. He's always spitting out fireballs, things that are hurtful. A froward man soweth strife, and a whisperer, or a gossiper, separateth chief friends. That's what our Bible says about our tongue. Chapter 17, verse number 27. Again, we're going to go through these verses in Proverbs, and we'll get back to James. He that hath knowledge spareth his words. Some of the people you need to pay attention to are the ones who don't speak the most. Usually they got the most to say. They're just keeping it in. Why? Because they know they've got wisdom. Usually the person that's talking all the time, they don't have much to say at all. And it shows. We can tell. He that hath knowledge spareth his words, and a man of understanding is of an excellent spirit. Notice the Bible now, verse 28. Here's the verse I was telling you about. Even a fool, when he holdeth his peace, is counted wise. Even a fool, when he holdeth his peace, is counted wise. And he that shutteth his lips is esteemed a man of understanding. I have written down in my Bible, sometimes I just need to learn when to shut my mouth. Now, that's personalized. You don't need to write that in your Bible. Sometimes Brother Terry needs to learn when... No, you don't have to write that in your Bible, I promise. That was personalized for me. Chapter 18, look at verse number 21. Death and life are in the power of the tongue, and they that love it shall eat the fruit thereof. If you love death, it's going to be in your tongue, and that's what you're going to eat on. That's what you're going to talk about. Things that kill. But if you love life, and you love giving life, and you love helping people, that's what you're going to do with your tongue. That's going to be the fruit of your mouth. That's going to be what you eat on. That's what's going to be on your lips all the time. Proverbs chapter 21 now. Go down to verse 23. We'll skip a few chapters. Proverbs 21, verse 23. Whoso keepeth his mouth and his tongue keepeth his soul from troubles. And again, all the women said, amen. Whoso keepeth his mouth and his tongue keepeth his soul from troubles. Sometimes we need to learn that not saying anything is best. Go to chapter 25. Look at verse number 8. Chapter 25, verse number 8. Go not forth hastily to strive. You hear something and you immediately run and you got to go handle it. Hastily. Go not forth hastily to strive. That's to contend, to be contentious, to fight with one another. Lest thou know not what to do in the end thereof, when thy neighbor hath put thee to shame. Sometimes when you get all worked up and you just got to go tell somebody what you think, and then they have an answer, and they tell you exactly what happened, and you're like, oh, I feel like an idiot. I don't know about, I've been there. I don't know about you. I speak from experience. I've been there. The Bible here tells us, look at verse 9, debate thy cause with thy neighbor himself and discover not a secret to another. Sometimes you need to solve your problem, well, not sometimes, all the time. You need to solve your problems personally,
not publicly. You solve your problems personally with the person that has the strife, the issue. You don't go on a public forum. Listen, this is one of the things I hate about social media. You do what you want. This is one of the things I hate about social media. Everybody airs out everybody else's dirty laundry. And then somebody wants to talk about their life, and they put everything out in the public, and then somebody comments on it, and they take offense to it. Like, look, you're the one that put it out there. And that's just, people don't think about it. That's my public life. That's my private life. I don't want it to be publicized. Well, then why did you post about it? There's no common sense. But what happens oftentimes is we are hurt by somebody or something happens, and we run to someone that's close to us, and we begin to tell everybody our side of the story to kind of beef up our support system to get everybody on our side before they call everybody that we know and get everybody on their side. What's Christian about that? Absolutely nothing. If there's a problem, the old way to say it was you go straight to the horse's mouth and you go figure it out for yourself. Go to Proverbs 26, verse number 20. Notice here, where no wood is, there the fire goeth out. Now that sounds fairly simple, right? No wood on the fire is going to burn out, correct? So, end of the verse, where there is no talebearer, that's somebody telling all your secrets, the strife ceaseth. So if somebody would just decide not to run their mouth, the fire will go out. But what do? We feed the fire. We fan the flames with the things that we say. Look at chapter 29, verse number 11. Chapter 29, verse 11. A fool uttereth all his mind. And again, oftentimes you can tell. They just got to tell you everything they're thinking all the time. But a wise man keepeth it in till afterwards. Look at verse number 20, same chapter. Seest thou a man that is hasty or quick in his words, there's more hope of a fool than of him. Now, we didn't begin to touch on all the verses that refer to our speech. These are just a few of them. Okay? Just a few of them. And the Bible tells us very plainly and very clearly how we need to control this tongue. How we need to use some wisdom in what we say and how we say it. Go back to James with me, chapter number 3. And we'll hasten through this. We understand tonight in verse number 5, the power of the tongue has the power to direct in verses 1 through 4. But in verse number 5, the Bible tells us the tongue has the power to destroy. Even so the tongue is a little member and boasteth great things. Behold how great a matter a little fire kindleth. We see the power of the tongue. It boasteth great things. But then we see the pollution as well. How great a matter a little fire kindleth. Here we see the influence of the tongue. Now notice on the next few verses we see the iniquity of the tongue. The iniquity. Now I've broken down before you before, but I'll do it by way of review. There's three words are used oftentimes interchangeably throughout the book of Psalms, even throughout your Bible. Sin, iniquity, and transgression. Okay? Sin refers to the action that was committed. The actual sin. The acting of that. The iniquity is the application or the evil in our heart behind it. And then the transgression is the attitude that we hold on to when we perform that sin. Or when we commit that sin. So here we're talking about the evil behind the tongue, the iniquity of it. What does it do? Verse number 6. And the tongue is a fire, a world of iniquity. So is the tongue among our members, that it defileth the whole body and setteth on fire the course of nature. And it is set on fire of hell. For every kind of beast and of birds and of serpents and of things in the sea is tamed and hath been tamed of mankind. But the tongue can no man tame. It is an unruly evil, full of deadly poison. Now, we're told in Proverbs to teach our tongue what to say, correct? We went over that verse. But the Bible says in James that no man can tame your tongue. Now, that's not a contradiction. We have to constantly work at making sure that we say the right things and we don't say the wrong things. We have to constantly work at that. But there's going to be times where we fail. Right? A just man falls 7 times and riseth again. That's what the Bible says. There's going to be times where the flesh is going to get one over on you. And something's just going to come out. Why? Because we've been festering on it. Because it's been lingering in the mind. And we thought it for a long, long time. And sooner or later, what we thought is going to come out of our mouths. Because we've entertained the thought long enough that it just comes out. Now, what does the tongue do? According to verse number 6, it defiles. It's a fire, a world of iniquity. According to verse 6 as well, it destroys. Notice the Bible says, it is set on fire, the course of nature, and it is set on fire of hell. I sat down and I thought about this. When you think about hell, what do you think about? You think about pain. You think about torments. We think about hurt. We think about violence, right? We think about eternal separation from God. We think about damnation. We think about no hope, no Christ. I think about the rich man in Luke 16. He had no refreshing water at all. There was nothing refreshing. There was nothing helpful that he received. Well, if the tongue is set on fire of hell, I wonder how much of our speech, let's apply it, how much of our speech brings pain? How much of our speech brings torment? How much of our speech brings hurt? How much of our speech causes violence? How much of our speech brings damnation on ourselves and the hearer? How much of our speech shows there's no hope? How much of our speech has no Christ? How much of our speech is not refreshing? And then how much of our speech has absolutely nothing helpful in it? Our tongue being set on fire of hell. We really need to think about the things that we say and how we say it. Verses 7 and 8 show us that the tongue dominates. Every beast, every animal has been tamed, but the tongue is unruly. No man can tame it. And you can work as hard as you want to. You're never going to fully be able to tame that tongue. But that doesn't mean we shouldn't try. That doesn't mean that we shouldn't do everything that we can to make sure we're saying the right things in the right way. You say, sometimes it's just easier to give them the what for. Yeah, sometimes it is. Just because it's easy doesn't make it right. We tell our kids that. That applies to us as well. Sometimes it's easier just to speak your mind. But the character of a man is shown not just by what he says, but what he refuses to say. And we reveal our character or our lack thereof oftentimes by our speech. And then our speech not only dominates, it also deadens. Notice the end of verse 8, it's an unruly evil full of deadly poison. What does poison do? It numbs somebody. You're taking somebody gives you, we were talking about morphine just a minute ago. What does morphine do? It has a numbing effect on the body. It's not something your body naturally produces, but it numbs you to any kind of pain, any kind of feeling. You know, there are times where people will talk, and the more they talk, the more numb you are to the things that they say. Because you know it's nothing good. And there comes a point where you just turn them off. But the Bible says in Proverbs, we didn't even go to the verse, it says in Proverbs, to make no friendship with an angry man, lest thou learn his ways and thou get a snare unto thy soul. A snare is a trap. The Bible tells us not to become friends or make friends with somebody who's constantly angry and constantly saying the bad things, because that's going to cause our souls to get trapped. We're going to be caught up and trapped in their little snare. Snare of their bad language and their bad talk. We see the iniquity of the tongue. We saw the influence. We saw the iniquity. Now, lastly, the inconsistencies of the tongue. Look at verse 9. Therewith bless we God, even the Father, and therewith curse we man, which are made after the similitude of God. So we want to come to church and bless God, and then when we're outside the church, we want to curse everybody that we come in contact with. Yeah. Verse 10, out of the same mouth proceedeth blessing and cursing. My brethren, these things ought not so to be. Doth a fountain send forth at the same place sweet water and bitter? Can a fig tree, my brethren, bear olive berries?
either a vine figs, so can no fountain both yield salt water and fresh. Here we see the inconsistency is declared. Verses 9 and 10. We bless God, but we curse man. We go back and forth constantly. You know what that is? That's a roller coaster. What's it going to be now? What are they going to have to say about this? We all know people like that. What are they going to have to say about this? I know they're going to have an opinion. I better not call them. Because they'll let you know their opinion. Why? Because they can't control this little member called a tongue. And you know what it's done? It's caused friction in your life, and it's ruining a relationship. It's ruining a relationship. But again, we're not responsible for what people say, but we are responsible for how we react and how we respond. Yeah, that's the hard part. That's the hard part. I understand. I'm human. We've all struggled with our mouths. Then we see the inconsistency is decried. He says, my brethren, these things ought not so to be. We need to learn balance in our lives, and we need to learn consistency. You see, when you say that you're a Christian, it ought to show on days other than Sunday and Wednesday. You know, it ought to show on every day that ends in Y. That's every day of the week, by the way. It ought to show every day. It ought to show every day that you are a child of God by the things that you say. Because again, what you say can either point people to Christ or turn people away. One or the other. We are responsible for our tongue. Did you know in the Bible tells us that we're going to be judged by the things that we say and the things that we do? I wonder how many idle words were spoken. And God's going to bring those back up, and we're going to be judged on those things. We see the inconsistency is declared, we see the inconsistency is decried, and then we see it's demonstrated in two different illustrations, the illustration of a fountain and the illustration of a fig tree. And he says here, a fountain cannot bring forth sweet water and bitter water. Did you know your mouth can't either? You can try to chew on one side, right? And complain on the other side. But if you're going to chew on something and eat something and complain, some food's going to come out of your mouth. Right? You can't do both at the same time. What happens oftentimes is we want to sit and complain and complain and complain. And the more that we complain, the less we're chewing on the Word of God. The more that we're feeding the flesh and complaining about all the things that are going on in this world, the less we're actually reading our Bible and consuming what God has for us. All because we've got to say what we think. We got to get it out. I just got to tell somebody. You don't understand. It's tearing me up inside. Yeah, I do understand. Because we're all human. But we are told that we need to control this member called a tongue. We've looked at verses all throughout the book of Proverbs. We looked at these verses here. And we can control an animal. And we can control a structure or a ship. But we can't control ourselves. That's probably the most alarming thing that we see in the Word of God. Is the fact that we can do all of this. But this little tongue right here. This little member gets us in trouble. It causes pain. It causes hurt. I wonder how many relationships have been ruined just because somebody had to share their opinion. I just had to tell them. No, you really didn't. Because now you don't have a friend. Now you've burnt bridges. And by the way, if you choose not to forgive somebody when they just had to tell you what they thought, and you choose not to forgive, you understand you're burning a bridge over which you yourself need to cross. When we burn bridges in our lives, we're not just burning bridges between one another. We are isolating ourselves from everybody and cutting ourselves off from everybody, becoming a recluse. All because
of this thing we call a tongue. Well, the question for you tonight is, how's your tongue? How's your tongue's behavior? We just took the Lord's Supper Sunday night. I'm not naive enough to think that our mouths haven't gotten us in trouble between that time and now. It probably has. Why? Because we're sinners. I'm just one sinner trying to tell another sinner how we ought to sin less. Right? We're all sinners. We have this thing called a tongue. The question is, are we trying to control it, or do we just let it run wild? Stand with me with heads bowed and eyes closed. The tongue's a little member. Oh, how great a matter of fire it kindleth. Are we adding to the fire? The Bible says the tongue is a world of iniquity. That means a whole world in and of itself is right there in that mouth of yours called your tongue. The Bible says it's set on fire of hell. That means everything that hell is, your tongue has the capability of. Let's pray. Father, we love you. We thank you for the truths of the Word of God. Lord, this is something we all need. I've not arrived. I don't control my tongue like I should. And I don't say that proudly or arrogantly. I say that shamefully. And you know that. We've had this conversation. And God, I pray that you'd help us to take heed to the Word of God. To be able to use a little bit more wisdom, a little bit more tact, and a little bit more grace in the things that we say. Use us and guide us. Help your people. We ask these things in your name. We pray. Amen. The pianist is playing. You come. How is your tongue? How is the things you're saying? How's the things you're saying? The Bible says our speech needs to be seasoned with grace to the hearers. Seasoned with grace. That means we ought to put some thought into the things we're saying. You ought to put some thought into it. Don't just ramble off every little thing that comes to your mind. How's our speech today? It's Colossians chapter 4, verse number 6. Let your speech be always with grace, seasoned with salt, that you may know how you ought to answer every man. Always with grace, seasoned with salt. You see,